we're all interested in this, how people in Oroville use integral yoga practice in their daily lives, because I guess eventually that did become something that was focused on in Oroville, no?
You have to understand, Shrivinda's mother,
yes,
did not want to be slotted or cliched into, you know, like other gurus, okay, we are doing this yoga and we are doing this yoga. He quite clearly said, and this is a wisdom or a knowledge which can only be used by people who have reached that stage. He said,
yes,
all life is yoga. Obviously, you can't reverse it, and anybody says, okay, then I can do what I like and I'm doing yoga. This is not the way. This equation can't be reversed. But you have to, in order to do justice to Sri Aurobindo and the mother, you have to avoid labeling them.
Yes, I see.
So I would rather feel that you should, don't give it a title, just describe what you experience. And then each one for himself, or the reader himself, can figure out if this is yoga or not. Because it's not, what I think in its aspiration, every single one in Oroville, even now, is aiming at something beyond the pure material level.
Yes, exactly.
So keep it at that aspiration. You can also call it, we are trying to establish an intentional community. It is not,
yes,
just an accumulation of random people who find it nice here. This is not the idea.
Right.
But this intention, it's another word for aspiration, has to spring from within. And actually the mother is the one who keeps on putting us into that freedom. She once said, they're clamoring for freedom. I make them free. And the moment they are free, they're rushing back to me and asking me to tie up their hands again. And it's true. We can't handle that freedom. Everybody wants to say, now what is the actual routine in Oroville? What is the trademark? What are the characteristics of the integral yoga? And she kept on blowing it away.
Really?
So if you want to do justice, even to the confusion of Oroville, so many, you read the letters on yoga in Sri Aurobindo. I'm not trying to make it too imprecise. He's quite precise in a particular direction. He gives in a letter to a particular questioner. But you can't generalize this. And say, now he said you should not eat this. Or now he said you should only stand on your head. For some person it may be good every morning to stand for 3 minutes or 10 minutes on his head. It might be fatal for another person.
Yes.
So this is the freedom, which is actually one of the greater disciplines, because he also describes freedom, the true freedom is only possible in the service to the divine. It is not,
yes,
that you are just doing what your whims of your vital says.
Yes.
So I think you're trying to package it, should say it can't be packaged.
I see. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have.
No. You say what you like, because it is, I would also, when I go out and talk, I keep on packaging. Everybody wants to package.
And
everybody gets, you know, wants to be published. And everybody says, okay, give me 20,000 words or 10,000 words or 5,000 words and make it clear. Don't get too confusing. But it so happened that there is a meaning in the initial confusion somewhere, because where is it? What is it?
Yes, yes.
You see, I've visited other communities. I visited Arcosanti, I visited Findhorn. And whenever the initial originator in its physical body is not there, the cardinals, if one wants to say this,
yes,
religious nomenclature, are trying to fix certain things. Now, this is Sri Aurobindo's yoga, and this is exactly what she warns us. Don't make it a religion, because then suddenly the forms become more important than the content. That's the definition of religion.
Yes, so it's not possible to really package it.
I don't want to sound as if I'm rebuking you. I'm only saying the interesting article, the interesting thing which could come out of this interview would be, keep on asking interesting questions. Don't aim at the answers. And like you might even say that is even a definition of this, what Mother calls on the way. You keep on, the moment you find an answer, don't settle down, because that answer is gone. You have to move to the next question, you know.
Sure.
And Auroville is also like this. I mean, we have a very difficult task to do. We have to build something in steel and concrete and roads and infrastructure and sewage system and education and so on. And things have to be defined. There needs to be a structure. So you can't just say everything is evolving and everything is moving and so on. This is also a New Age jumbo. So how to do that? How to manifest when you define something in space and time, without making it a prison, without fossilizing it the moment it's done? This is a very hard task. And there is somewhere Sri Aurobindo. That's why Sri Aurobindo is so difficult to read, because he keeps on keeping two opposite elements continuously alive, simultaneously. And our consciousness is still geared towards linear perception, and he actually is training like a bodybuilding into global perception. So that's where the hard part comes in. That's why people have a hard time reading him. But you can't simplify it, because it is as simple as it can be expressed. No?
Yes, I understand. When the mother envisioned Auroville, did you feel that she had the idea that we would all be living inspired by the divine through whatever kind of yoga or benign goodwill that we had?
I don't know, divine life?
Or expression of the divine, expression of the higher power. That was sort of her intention.
She says, goodwill who aspire for a higher and truer life. That is the second part of the invitation.
Yes.
Aspiring to a higher and truer life, obviously. You see, a very strong force in her message in Sri Aurobindo is the aspiration. This is a want, this is a aiming upwards.
Yes.
Now the question of how far you can realize this in your own life, in your own surrounding,
yes,
depends on your instruments, on your surrender and your sincerity and many other aspects. But I think the overwhelming feeling at that time, I'd say,
yes,
if you speak from the beginning, was a sense of adventure. She herself didn't know what was in stock. She herself just, come what may, I invite you to the adventure.
Wow.
It's really like setting off into an unknown ocean.
Yes,
and
very exciting.
That was actually the feeling, and we were all on fire with that. We were all, right, here we go, Mother. And it's still there, it just expresses itself in different forms. Sometimes it looks as if the system and the doors are closing around us. I don't think so. I mean, there are waves, there are phases when you are on a settling phase, and then you're again breaking free and you're moving forward. And
yes,
it's like that. And there are also different types. Some people, there are the three different movements in the Trimurti: the beginner, the sustainer, and the one who's taking it apart again. You know, the Brahma, the Vishnu, and the Shiva.
Oh, how interesting.
And so it depends also in your own different gunas, as I say, in your different qualities you carry. You can find out for yourself to which of the three movements do you belong. And some people, though, also if you look at Auroville as a body, the same goes there too. Auroville goes continuously through a new beginning. I think particularly this year seems to be a very strong one. They're having a bit of a harder time because there is always a tendency to say, now I've been here for 20 years, so I know, and don't you come, you're here for 2 months, what are you talking about? Just, you know, like this attitude.
Yes.
I think this is a bit silly because your true aspiration can't be quantified in terms of time. I don't think there's no merits in seniority.
Certainly.
So I think, but we all do it, no? I mean, I don't know whether I even think, oh, Anne, you know, where are you coming from? And I think it's quite possible in my subconscious. I won't tell it. But actually, I often enjoy taking people around who have come recently and experience the freshness and the newness and the adventure through their eyes. And
it is really exciting to be here. Can you tell me a little bit about the beginning when Mother and the original people here were speaking about integral yoga? What did it mean to you?
Well, the word has been coined by Sri Aurobindo. Integral means to integrate various schools of yoga. He also uses the word synthesis of yoga. Traditionally in India, there are four large streams of yoga, schools of yoga. The yoga of work, karma yoga, the yoga of worship and devotion, bhakti yoga, the yoga of physical aestheticism, hatha yoga, the yoga of knowledge, jnana yoga. So Sri Aurobindo, after returning from his Western studies, not knowing much about India and yoga, very quickly went right to the depths of the traditional schools and realized that all of them carry a part of the truth, a part of experience, and he worked then all his life on an integration of these four yogas, which he then called integral yoga. But you must understand, when we all turned up here, we didn't really mentalize all that very much. I don't think among ourselves the word integral yoga was ever mentioned. I don't think so. Whether we practiced it, I'm doubtful. Those who had come for Auroville, I hadn't come for Auroville actually. But those who had come for Auroville, they were quite clearly told Auroville is karma yoga, is the yoga of work. I had come to serve the Mother and Sri Aurobindo, and I didn't know I would land up in Auroville. I came to the ashram. I had first come to the ashram in 1960. I was 21 years old. Mother had just stopped playing tennis. Everything was very available and easy accessible. She would give every morning balcony darshan. You started the day off coming to a 10-15 minute silent darshan on the back road of the ashram, where she would come out to the lower balcony. That was a very poignant moment every day, and it sent you off to a day's activity. It reminded me later on, when I had asked the Mother, how can I be a more truer instrument for serving you, she said, you're doing okay. But you could every morning, before you start your day's work, dedicate all what you will do during the day to the Lord. And then don't think about it anymore, you just carry on doing your work. So I think she also did that in the ashram as a collective discipline. And that was very beautiful. I had then gone out, stayed in Asia, spent about 9 months, 8 months traveling in Asia. Actually, I felt I was on a mission from the mother because she had encouraged me. I said I still have enough vitality. I want to move on. I know I will come back and serve you. And they said, where do you want to go? And I said, I was wondering whether I should go to Japan. Oh yes, you should go to Japan. My friend Mrs. Kobayashi had just gone back, and I have a lot of things which I brought back from, she had spent 6 years, I think, in Japan, 1914 to 20.
Wow. Interesting.
I brought a lot of things back, and you should see that, and let me know when you go, then I will inform Mrs. Kobayashi that you will be there. So I felt I was at least in her knowledge. So after 9 months traveling in Asia, I came back in 1961 and spent another few weeks here, in the ashram, I mean. And I wanted to learn something. I had no skill, I just finished my high school, and I wanted to learn something to be able to offer her. So I went back to Munich and started studying Indology and philosophy and languages. And in 1966 then I came permanently. I knew that the time had come, even though I hadn't finished my studies, to return to her. So as I said, I did not come specifically to Auroville, because Auroville wasn't even talked about. Only after a few months when I heard Mother had some idea, some project of building something outside of Pondicherry. Mm-hmm. And some people, particularly one of her main secretaries, Pranab, thought it was a crazy idea. But I felt good about it, and by that time I had actually met the future mother of my children. Mm. And I was all the other way than I had thought. I thought I was going to enter a monastery, I was going to give up all the worldly pleasures, sex, women, wine and so on, which I obviously didn't. And so being a family, and actually then Charlotte, she was called at that time, now she is called Shyama, was expecting a baby already. Mm. And Mother indicated that the ashram was not a place to raise family. So she made them preparation that this would be the firstborn Auroville child.
Wow.
So
interesting.
This is what happened.
Now, did you relate having a child at all to the ideas of integral yoga? Because I guess there might be an overlap.
See, this is again coming very from a sort of conceptual, mental level. I can't really say that it wasn't. It was my service. I was a child of the mother. I wasn't doing integral yoga. I was trying to be her instrument. And meaning her didn't mean not being Sri Aurobindo's instrument, but she is the manifestation of Sri Aurobindo's work.
Right.
So I didn't really ask, wondered about it. Obviously, in the ashram, it was a bit of a scandal, because basically you are living a celibate life in the ashram. And that was quite clearly indicated also by Sri Aurobindo. So we were a bit of a rule breaker there.
Oh, I see.
But she also made quite clear distinction between a life of the ashram. She said the life, if you want to live in the ashram, it means you have taken up the yoga.
Yes.
You become a sadhak, you're doing sadhana.
Yes.
While living in Auroville, simple goodwill is enough.
Oh, I see.
That is not to put it down, because even in the invitation to Auroville, the only condition she made for being a member of Auroville, when she said on the day of the inauguration, invited are all men of goodwill,
yes,
who aspire to a higher and truer life.
Yes.
So this is a translation from the French, and I understand, I don't know French, but I understand this French word goodwill, bonne volonté, is a much stronger word than the English word goodwill. Goodwill can be quite superficial.
Hmm.
And if you read later on what she says about goodwill,
yes.
In 1969, the beginning of the conversation with Satprem in the agendas, she speaks about that new force which is manifesting, particularly the entries of 4th of January and going on till February. She speaks from that year onwards, a new force has entered the terrestrial atmosphere, which is a force of goodwill, a benign goodwill, who wants. And this wanting is actually a very strong force, volonté. So there is quite a clear distinction between a life in the ashram and a life in Auroville.
Yes.
And it later on turned out to be into a quite confrontational situation. Maybe that was not what the mother wanted, it just became like that. But in opposition to those who saying, oh, we are all the same, we are all brothers and children of the mothers, and so on.
You mean
between the ashram and between Auroville.
Okay, yes.
There she made quite a clear distinction also when somebody suggested, shouldn't we all work together, and should not the school in the ashram bring the teachers for this, and so on. That was actually Satprem thinking that this is the way. And she said, no, not at all. I feel there should be even a greater greater distance between the ashram and all of them. And to us personally, she said, when I suggested, can our children, they were the first children of Auroville, also Shyama had already three children before I met her. So
yes.
They were coming into kindergarten age or school age, and we thought, well, can we at least send them to the ashram? I said, no, you have to start now your own school in Auroville.
Do you think, however, that in using integral yoga, as I am sure the mother instructed you in, you know, your work here, that you did actually have a lot in common with the sadhak that were at the ashram? That you were all using the same kind of yoga in a way to...
I don't know how you're coming back to that term. I don't know what it means to you. Because it's like a label. It's like a label, and if you read Sri Aurobindo and he describes the becoming of the subjective age and the spiritual age, you can use labels, but what do they mean basically? I think they.
You mean the label of integral yoga?
I think Sri Aurobindo uses it indicating to you, you have to fill it by reading him and by absorbing what he says, but how it then affects you and how it manifests in your particular state of your own dharma, of your own evolution, it might be quite different from the other. So there is no fixed...
Yes.
common denomination, you are doing the integral yoga in contrast to some other yoga.
Yes, that's what I thought.
The similarity between the people in the ashram and Auroville, yeah, we all sort of, our inspiration and our guidance flow from the same source.
Yes, of course.
But as she said, in the ashram, you dedicate your life as an individual with a lot of renunciations also. Renunciation of you don't have a family, you don't have personal money, you are totally part of an institution like the ashram, while the mother was there giving direct instruction of how you should live and decisions would be taken by her. While for people in Auroville, even while she was in her body, she made it quite clear, with regard to questions of Auroville, you should find the answer within you. Even in the same letter I wrote to her, while I was still in the ashram, she would answer my questions with regard to my daily life in the ashram quite precisely and explicitly. But when it came to my future activities and also my present activities at that time in Oroville, that with regard to Oroville, you should find the answer within you. So it's quite a difference, no? It is quite a different road to go.
Yes, as opposed to following her dictates.
And also being the traditional Indian relationship between guru and shishya is a different, it's a very old and very wise relationship. Well, I only spent, let's say, from 61, maybe a few months, but then from 66 to, I think, the whole family moved out, maybe in the end of 68, beginning of 69, so 3 years, 2.5 years. The thing is that there were periods when I came first in 1960, 61, this was still very much practiced. You had a room allocated to you by the mother.
Yes.
And if you were to do anything in that room, even shift the cupboard from one side to the other, you would ask the mother. If you got every first of the month what they call prosperity, you didn't have any personal money. What you needed was given to you by the mother herself. In physical terms, she would give you that box with your razor blades and your towels.
Yes.
And your pencils. So it really was a surrendering, a total surrender of your own individuality to her.
Wow.
And I think maybe in that stage of the yoga, particular for people who had chosen that way, a necessary phase. And that's why I feel the shock of her actually leaving her physical body on 17th November 73 was a much greater shock to the members of the ashram, because they suddenly felt whom to ask now.
Yes, as opposed to the people in Oroville who already had been used to her telling them, look
right.
inside yourself for the answer.
Right.
And isn't that what a guru normally would do, is to eventually have the sadhaks know how to go within themselves to find the answer?
I can't give a general rule to that. I don't know. In your surrender to the guru, you might come to a stage where the direction of the guru is heard within and without you having to physically go. But the attitude that there is an authority, either within or without, which actually runs your life.
Yes.
This is common to whether she is in her body for the ashram or not. But habitually or practically, it would, even in the ashram, there were a lot of conflicts and problems. You just have to read the agenda, and people would refer always these things to her, and she would settle the dispute.
Yes.
So they were really not prepared for her leaving.
Yes.
And she herself might not have been prepared, because even not so long before she left, she said, I don't know what the Lord wills. I don't know whether this body is going to stay. I don't know, once I'm 100, it might things become easier.
Yes.
She also said that it could be that I go into a state which looks death-like, a kind of comatose state, and make sure that this body is preserved, and because it is a period of transition and a period of what she calls a change of government, an inner governance is changing, like that. So she herself didn't know what was the Lord's will, so that's why she didn't prepare. We in Oroville obviously were also not prepared, and for us, I mean, for Shyama and me and others who were here, it was a vacuum suddenly broke open when we were told she had left her body.
Is this perhaps one of the stressors that caused the rift between the Sri Aurobindo ashram people and the people in Oroville? Do you think that?
I don't know. You have to understand there's often a confusion. There are three different institutions. One is the ashram, which is a trust, which has trustees, which is meant to run the ashram.
Yes.
Out of it, emerged as a separate legal body, the Sri Aurobindo Society, which is a society which has members. And when the concept of Auroville and the idea of Auroville was mooted, she didn't want Auroville to be put immediately into a legal format or restriction. So she asked the Sri Aurobindo Society to perform a kind of legal service. When land had to be bought for Auroville, it had to be registered in somebody's book. When donations were given, somebody had to issue a receipt, and so on. And when visas were given for foreigners, an Indian person, like the Sri Aurobindo Society, had to recommend these visas.
Yes.
And then, as a third element, there's Auroville.
Oh, yes.
The problem never really arose between the ashram and Auroville. But the Sri Aurobindo Society, after the mother left her body, claimed proprietary rights over Auroville and claimed to be the manager of Auroville, even though they were living in Pondicherry.
I see.
And they also were able to give the impression to the public that the ashram was supporting them. In effect, the chairman of the Sri Aurobindo Society would show the assets of the ashram as if they were part of the Sri Aurobindo Society. And so I can't really say that the difference of what mothers saw in the experiment of the ashram and from that what she saw in the experiment of Auroville caused that rift. I don't think so. Other difference between the ashram and Auroville is that we are attempting a collective effort here, a collective experiment. I won't
yes.
say yoga because it's overused, but okay. while the ashram is definitely just an experiment where the individual seeks his union, his connection with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, it has also its collective aspect, it has its school and its whole. But here it is actually explicitly an attempt not to be individualized, but a collective effort.
Yes, it's an intentional community.
So we don't know how such a collective psychic governance is supposed to look like. I have no idea. I don't think Sri Aurobindo, he gave some indication of a certain sensitivity, a certain refinement, capacity to listen, not to be driven by vital powers exclusively, and things like this, to be able to witness and to observe oneself. But
yes.
how actually 20 people, 200 people, 2,000 people, 20,000 people can share a psychic experience, I haven't seen this being described by Sri Aurobindo.
And the mother?
Also not. She speaks about certain things. For example, Sri Aurobindo speaks about a national soul.
Yes.
Each nation carries a certain binding psychic quality, the Americans, the Germans, the French, the English. And we also do that. Especially you notice that when one meets outside of Auroville, that there's a commonness, there's a kinship. But what exactly it is, it's very difficult to describe. So we really are trying with external means in the moment, at least on a collective level, to manifest certain things. That we, for example, have a no pyramid structure regarding authority and powers. There's no
yes.
boss, and we are not following a normal procedure of, order of commands.
Yes, that seems natural.
We also don't really have, even though we often act like proprietors of the things we use, which is a bit short of what one would expect,
yes.
but we don't really claim absolute ownership. We can't sell, we can't, you know, I'm sitting here in this flat, that's not my flat. It's also not the flat of the person who gave the money for it.
Yes.
So education also is not necessarily geared towards getting certificates and diplomas, even though if the children and if the teachers feel it's good for the child to be able to rank himself in comparison to outside, it's good, it will be supported. But that's not the educational policy of Oroville.
Yes.
The entry into Oroville should actually, there should be people who have a psychic, an inner opening, and can see whether that person who wants to become an Orovillian truly belongs here. But none of us have it, really. So we are fumbling along, sometimes rather crudely, in our admission policy. We just have stopped entry process because we don't know. We don't want to sit on some high throne and say yes and no to some people's request to come in. Sat Prem once said, in the absence of the inner vision, you should just restrict it to very practical things, which I think seems to be the safest.
And that's very instructive.
And also take the needs of the city. We want to build a city, so take the needs as an indicator. It's like a body who has certain needs, you know. Then take that as an indication of what kind of people we would like to come. We need technical people, we need educationists, we need people who do service to the collective, we need artists, and so on.
Yes.
Take that as a quality, not have you read Sri Aurobindo and have you given up all externally. Who is asking these questions, no?
Yes. Now, do you think that the mother would be happy, I mean, considering that all of these trees have been planted here, so much has been done for the villagers around here in terms of the forest being regrown, the water being cleaned up, so much education about sustainable agriculture and so on. Do you think that the mother would be pleased today to see how things have happened here, given the instructions that she gave people before she left?
I can't speak for her, but my experience is she didn't measure you on the products.
Yes.
And even if you just planted one little seedling, which might just struggle along, but you have done it in a sense of joy and service to her, she would be happy. I think she would be happy with what Oroville has accomplished. But she would also warn us to not make that the actual aim of Oroville, because it's another trap. These are side effects. This is not the central goal to reconstitute the environment, to become a haven for, alternative gatherings and meetings. And that is not its primary aim. She wanted it to be a place, and that's what she describes in the dream, where people together can follow their psychic command, the
yes.
dictates of their soul. If that then brings you in planting trees, or if it makes you sit quietly, the community should be able to accommodate it.
Yes, it's a beautiful vision that she had. And
so I cannot say, all these external successes we have, they're wonderful, and I admire what has been done. But it's also a danger.
Yes, I see what you mean.
It attracts also a lot of people who actually may be better off somewhere else.
Because they're not trying to follow their inner direction from the divine.
Something has become so attractive. I mean, if you want to look at somebody living 6 months of the year here with his pension,
yes.
you have a good time here. And
yes,
I'm not denouncing
not
that. It might well be also a wonderful place for 6 months for a pensioner. There's nothing wrong with it. But
Right.
We have to be careful to put this as the top things on our banners.
Yes.
We shouldn't put anything on our banners, no?
Yes. Except perhaps that we are here to follow the vision that this would be a community based on the divine call, and that we were supposed to be an expression of the divine.
Yeah. Even the word divine.
It's not the right word.
There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, she was a bit hesitant because even when the charter was being formulated, she said, Auroville belongs to nobody in particular, Auroville belongs to humanity as a whole. But to live in Auroville, you have to be the servitor of the divine consciousness. Now, there was a communist among the team of Roger who said, Divine Mother, this makes it very difficult for Russia to follow because we are a communist, what's divine playing there?
Said, okay, oh, how interesting.
Okay, what do you suggest? So I think it came out with saying, but to be a servitor of the perfect consciousness.
Wow.
And then she said, well, it's of course much less. But if it makes you happy, it's okay for the communists, they can use that.
That's so interesting.
I don't know, if you address a Western audience with whatever you bring out, we are still operating from that duality, human and divine.
Yes, it's a perennial.
And we have to break that.
Yeah, yes.
When the mother was once divine. Confronted with a gang of three American, what you call them, women, libs, huh?
Oh, yes.
And so they stomped up to her. There
were
two.
Was big at that time.
There were two incidents which I thought were very beautiful. Both of them were actually very humorous. This you also should see. There is nothing in the sincerity and in the intensity of the yoga which prevents you to be humorous and be joyful. And Sri Aurobindo is full of it, Mother also.
Of course not, right.
And there were two incidences when this lady stomped up to her and said, so, you basically said, you say that you divine. And Mother nods her head and she said, potentially yes. So you see, it's not a dual world model anymore, and that mm-hmm. I think goes with the Gnostic age. We are moving to a unitive understanding of this world.
Yes.
And the other one was very nice because, again, maybe another set of American visitors, one who was a matchmaker between this American delegation and the mother, and said, Mother, they would very much like to meet you, but their tradition and their culture doesn't allow. Either it was saying kneeling in front of her or bowing down. And Mother said, no problem, that's fine with me, no problem. Bring them on. So she is sitting in the playground, which is in the ashram, under the picture of India, which was the usual thing. She would take the parade in the evening of all the school children. And that was also time she would receive visitors. And though these ladies come also marching towards her, and about 3 meters in front of them, the one lady's hand purse falls down, opens up, and all the money is splattered on the ground. And all three women are on their knees in front of her.
It says something about American materialism, doesn't
she
it?
She looks, but it's not meant cynically, you know. It's not meant to put them down or being sarcastic about it. I think I would actually say almost everybody in Auroville has come and has stayed not with the intention, now I'm here and I'm serving the integral yoga and doing divine life. They all came for so many reasons. There's one boy who has been here now for the last 40 years. He came here because he came to Pondicherry because he was looking for a good French meal. So whatever means she is bringing you here and opening you up to the experience, it's good. And even if it is the dollar or the money on the ground, many things happened in my life where I later on only realized, wow, she uses every possible means to move you on to the path which you are meant to go without you knowing it.